Welcome to the Grazer Linux Tage. Benedikt Malerbach is a PhD student in formal methods at TU Graz, and his research revolves around the question, how can one make sure that this program works as it is supposed to do? And his talk will be about property-based testing. So please, Benedikt, the stage is yours.
Okay, thank you. So, as you just said, I'm working on formal methods. So this means we're investigating how can we check that a program does what it is supposed to do. And today, I don't want to talk about research, but about how you can use the simplest forms of these techniques into your and bring them into your own programs. And for that, we'll talk about property-based testing. So this is a random testing approach that allows you to enhance your unit tests. And this is one of the techniques that is the easiest to integrate. So I hope this will be useful for the software engineers among you. So let's first investigate or look, what do you actually mean when we say a software is correct? So there are many different ways how we can define that. So the first bit tautological way would be it does what we want it to do. But this is really hard to teach the computer. So even if you write your unit tests by hand, this isn't really something you can write as a unit test. You have to write down examples. And so you have to think, what does it mean? Okay, if I send this data, then I want to have this output. So you come up with this input-output pairs and write down these. Other things that you could think of is, no matter what I do to my program, it should never crash. Or we could also think about, maybe we are more mathematically inclined and we think about some properties that our software should obey. So if you're writing a complicated data structure library, then we want to preserve certain invariants. So for a search tree, for example, we want that all these branches obey this data structure invariant. The left branch with the smaller elements really only has smaller elements, and the right branch with the large elements only has the large elements. Otherwise, our subsequent algorithms would break down. So these are ways that we can tell the computer what it means for the software to be correct. Or another thing would be if we are serializing a configuration or exporting something from our program, and then at a later point, read our own file format. We want to reconstruct the state of our program again. So these are a few of the ways how we can express some correctness properties. We will never be able to fully describe our intuition of a program, but these are things that bring us forward and go a bit beyond writing down simple examples. And this is in research, we call this also the oracle problem. How do we define and get an oracle that tells us if our software is correct or not? And now, once we have written this more formal or more computer readable version of our specification, we want to check it. So for the example pairs I mentioned before, this is relatively straightforward. We write unit tests, we build this, we send these inputs to the program and check the outputs, or we execute a certain sequence of interactions, of method calls, and then check if the result is as we want it to be. But for this properties or other things, we could also just come up with some input data or some input interactions. But why do we have to do this ourselves? We could also just ask the computer, hey, I have now this property that if I save my file and then read it back, I want it to have the same configuration back again. Why not just randomly generate configurations in our program, write them to the disk, and then read back this configuration file? And this is exactly what property-based testing does. So this is generating random input data for these properties. Other ways that are more research and not a topic of these tasks are exhaustively exploring all the states of our program, or we could even write mathematical proofs either by hand or computer assisted. But for this talk, I want to focus on this automatic testing via randomness. So this means we need to get the inputs. And as I already spoiled from the previous slide, we will use randomness. But there are also other ways we can get inputs. So if you write just the examples, then we could pick anything that comes to our mind. That works somewhat, but is maybe not the best idea. More smarter is to think about the corner cases of our program. So if we have a program that takes a list, then maybe try to not to give it an empty list. Or if we have numbers somewhere in our program, we can try the maximal and the minimal number. So these are corner cases or just common use cases. And because it's sometimes difficult to think of all these corner cases, we will use a combination of random data and examples and unit tests. So this technique I want to present you today is not really a complete replacement of unit testing or of even of manually testing some parts of your program, but instead you should think of it as one a small additional thing you can do to help your program behave correctly. And the tool I want to present to you is Hypothesis, which is a library for Python. And this helps you to write these properties on the one hand, and also provides you a framework of how to generate random data for your program inputs. And it's inspired by the QuickCheck library, which was originally invented in Haskell. This comes from the functional programming community, but as you see, it's for Python, it exists as well. And I think the Python library is even one of the best engineered property-based testing library. So it provides the most comfort features for users. Let's look at this example here from the documentation of Hypothesis, which David McIver wrote. And so this is a program, and we now want to test this. So what this program is supposed to do is a run length encoding. So we want to compress a file by looking at consecutive characters and storing the character and how often it is repeated in our result string. So if we have a string that is 5 A's followed by 7 B's, then instead of writing A 5 times and B 7 times, we instead can store that you will have the character A and then 5 and then character B and 7. And of course, if you have this encode function, we also want to decompress or decode our program again. This is this one. So this looks at this list of character and number pairs produced in the previous encoding program and decodes this. So it takes the pair and repeats the character again by this count to produce a result list. So let's first write some unit tests. So this is probably what you're used to already, or I guess many of you have used unit testing libraries of some sort. I came up with this example. This is not completely trivial. It's probably not a corner case. It's just testing one of the most common paths in our program. So if we take this string and encode it, then by like executing it in my head, I came up that this should be the result I want to see. So now I have a unit test for encode. I probably should also write tests for the corner cases. But for the sake of the argument, let's not do that and see if our property-based testing tool will be able to come up with them. And I also have to write a test for decode. So if we have to decode something, why not just take this same output we already mentioned in our previous unit test and say, okay, if I decode this string, I want to get back this. And if you look closely at this, then we have exactly, we have this element here or this string here. And again, we mention it here. And these two are also the same. So this would give us a nice property. If we encode this string, then we get some value. If we decode this value, we get back the initial string. And this shouldn't only hold for this one example we have written down here. But instead, this should have hold for every imaginable string we can plug in here. So let's use hypotheses to generalize this, to combine and generalize these two unit tests. And I call this property decode inverts encode. So this is one of the simplest properties you will come up with. And it's also one of the most common ones. So this is also similar to the storing your configuration on a hard drive and reading back this file. This is one of these, we can call these round trip properties. So now we have this. We say, okay, let's look at what syntax and everything we have here. So we, of course, we need some imports. So the library is called hypothesis, and we can import this given decorator. This will be used to tell it how to generate random data. And then we also need a strategy, and the strategy is the actual component that generates these random values. So in this case, hypothesis already provides us a strategy called text, which helps us to generate random unit code test inputs. And how do we use this now? So we have a test method that is also has the test prefix of PyTest. So this is, you can directly integrate this into your PyTest environment. Just write this and it will be executed as one of your tests. And it has a parameter. And so this parameter s is a string. And now we want to say essentially whatever this string is, this assertion should hold. So encoding the string and decoding it again should give us back the same string. And now we need to use this decorator. So we say, okay, there is one parameter here, and you can generate random values for this parameter using this text function or this text strategy. If you have multiple parameters in our test, then we can just give it a parameter list to this given decorator. Say, okay, the first object is text, the second one is a list of integers, the third one is one of our configuration objects, and so on. So let's run our test framework and see what happens. So what happened here is it says, oh, it found a falsifying example. So it found some S, namely the empty string. So would have been a good idea to write this corner case test ourselves. And with this empty string, we got an exception. So our, if you look here, we have this character variable. And if the input string is empty, then this for loop here gets skipped and character is never assigned a value. But down here, when we create the entry to be added to our list, we reference it. So it never got a value, but we try to use it here. So this is obviously bad. So we should in some way handle the empty list, like by checking it at the beginning and returning the empty list. And how did our test framework actually find that? So what is it really doing here? So this strategies don't generate a completely arbitrarily random data, but they try to think a bit about the corner cases. So the one who has written this text combinator probably also thought about testing empty strings with just normal characters, strings with other things, but in general, it's random. It just has a little bit of guidance on what are interesting properties. Or how to get a good spread over the domain of strings. And then the tool uses this random generator and asks it to provide 100 test inputs. At least that's the default parameter. And with that, it runs this unit test code here and checks our assertion. So you can also write longer tests, not just these one-liners. OK, so this was a small and relatively simple one that's maybe easy to spot, or which is also an obvious corner case. So we want our program to always test this. So this is a bit more like an example-based unit test. And we can also tell our property-based tester to always test this one example. So always test the empty string. This is can we do with this example decorator. So this, if you found a bug in our program, we can preserve this knowledge in our test cases. So we also have a cache inside of Hypothesis that is storing these previously failed examples, but this is only intended for a local user or developer. So it's not guaranteed that if you take this database and transfer it over to another developer's computer, that this will still work. And it's also nothing you can read as a documentation, as it's common for agile and test-driven development, where you say, okay, our test case should also be a documentation of our code. And if you use these example decorators, then we can also preserve a bit of this documentation aspect. And okay, these are corner cases that might lead to regressions, but that might also be interesting for the user to think about. On the other hand, maybe we found a bug and we know, no, nobody should ever call that. And I don't want to handle this problem in this method. Maybe this is a local method and you're not supposed to pass a null configuration in there, or because this should be handled at some upper level. And we don't want every method call to duplicate all these checks. Then we can also say, okay, excludes these things. So assume that this string here is not the empty string. So if you if you pass in the empty string, then this property must is not required to hold. It can hold, it cannot hold. We just don't care. And what this does, it helps to somewhat guide this random generator. So they implemented quite a smart adaptive random generation in the hypothesis, where you could, for example, write an assume that says only generate me, or my test is only relevant for positive numbers. Then if you randomly sample integers, you would expect to get equal number of positive and negative numbers. But hypothesis will somewhat adapt its random generator, and if it realizes that you're rejecting all these negative numbers, then it will generate fewer and fewer random number, negative random numbers, and more positive numbers. So you get most of your tests will then actually test things that match this assume statements. But it's not the best way to do this. So you can, as I will mention a bit later, you can also give parameters to strategies and or write your own strategies. So this is a bit better than just throwing away and hoping this adaptive step works. Because in the end, we want to have enough tests data that actually executes our code. Because if we generate 100 random test cases and our tool already rejects half of them or rejects 90% of them, then we don't get as much knowledge about our program as we want to have. Let's look at a different, more complex error in our program. So we have the same ENCODE program, and now we have this special casing of our empty string, but somehow we made a different mistake. We forgot to reset this counter. So this is, we go through the character, then we count how many of the previous characters already had the same number, and this is this part, and once we get a different character, we produce one new entry in our program. But if we forget this reset, so we got a different character, but we continue. So we have A, B, for example. We say, okay, we have one A, two A's, and now we should again, if you have a B, we should have, okay, this is the first B. But now with this line missing, it would say, okay, this is actually the third B, which is wrong, obviously. Let's see if our testing tool can find this mistake. We have the same our test code as before. We didn't write any new examples or anything. We just tried to use random data. And we get this input sequence. So we have 0, 0, and 1. So it found a relatively small input that has only 3 characters, but it is still able to find our problem. So we have 2 characters, so this makes the counter unequal to 1, and then we get a different character, and this now has a non-matching counter value. And this should actually be a bit surprising. Why does it, if it just uses random data, why does it find this small and using relatively obvious characters? So 0 and 1, they are also quite related. Why doesn't it generate something like 500 A or 20 A's, 7 B's, a few non-printable characters, and something completely random. Why instead this super small and neat test case? And this is the concept of shrinking and or test case minimization that is used by a property-based testing tool. So once the random tester found a problem in your program, it then tries to subsequently test it with similar inputs to get the smallest and simplest test input. And these simple test inputs must still trigger the bug. So the bug must still exist, but we want a simple output. And with these strategies, they include not only the random generation, but also this shrinking behavior. And this first allowed the tester to shrink it down to a three character string, where the first two are the same and one and the third character is different. And it afterwards also tries to minimize or to simplify the actual characters. And it then dance toward zero and one, because for some reason it thinks that these are the simplest characters. Maybe it could also give you A and B. In my view, this would be equally simple. But these are, so it's not using like 7 and 8 because it thinks these are more complicated numbers or more complicated characters or nothing unprintable or so. So it's, or like it could have space new line as our input string, which would be a bit of a pain to debug. Even though it's still printable. Okay, so we now went through a very short whirlwind tour through how to write a test for a very simple program. And you might ask yourself, okay, if you have this decode encode, okay, this is a property, it's quite obvious and also, yeah, we have this text generator already provided. But what if my program is a lot more complicated than this function? So I would have to come up with properties. I don't know yet how to do that. And I also need to generate inputs for my own data that are significantly more complex than just a string. And that will give you a few hints on how we can do that and what mechanisms hypothesis provides you and to assist you to write properties and also to write these random generators and shrinking strategies. So let's first start with strategies. So these, whatever strategy you have, you can use it in the given decorator to generate inputs for a parameter. And you always generate inputs of some type. But type is in this case relatively general. So the type could also be any dictionary or a string, an integer, a Boolean. So yeah, but it always has a certain shape. Might be a bit less confusing than just type. And it has a way to minimize these test cases. So it has a bit of knowledge on what a simple test case is and how to obtain them. And one of the most interesting and useful things is we can combine these strategies. So let's look at some examples. And what do I mean by combining strategies? So Booleans are relatively simple. And now let's look. So this just generates randomly true and false. But integers, they are a bit more interesting. So, and this is also a strategy that allows you to parameterize it. So as I said, mentioned earlier, maybe we want only positive numbers, or we want numbers only of a certain range. And we can already tell this to our strategy when we mention it. So this integer strategy will only generate integers between 0 and 100. Or the text strategy can be parameterized by the printable argument. So we are only interested in printable strings and not strings containing control characters. Or there are also some more complex strategies already available inside Hypothesis. For example, the emails strategy or generator generate to random RFC compliant emails or email addresses, which probably can find quite a few bugs in some applications if you try this out. Or you can, for dictionaries, tell it what is the value for keys and for the actual value fields. And we can also say this OR operator. So we want to have a list, and each element is independently chosen either as an integer, a string, or a boolean. So we can use this pipe or this OR to build disjunctions of these strategies. And what's so this is a way to combine them. And the really smart thing this library does, it automatically now finds you or builds you a generator and a shrinker for these more complex types. So for this list, which you mentions three different other generators and also has this OR operators, it still is able to find generators to produce random data, and also a shrinker that gives you simpler outputs of this complicated shape or a bit more complicated shape. You might be able to write generators or strategies for your own types this way. But most of the time, you need a bit more. And for this, Hypothesis provides you with the composite decorator or the composite ability. So with this, you can write your random generators or and it then gives you a shrinker automatically. But you write this in a very free-form way. So you have this draw function, and you can say, okay, we want to draw elements is an integer generator, and draw is a function that takes a strategy like integers or lists, and it tells it, okay, I want some value for XS. And then I can mention XS at some later point and draw random values depending on the previous random value I generated. And we can also use loops and ifs, and so we can really write freeform code here. So and what this does is it generates a random list of this element strategy, which is if you don't provide one, it's integers, but the user can provide any strategy for the elements. And we want our list to have at least one element. And then we want to have, additionally to this list, we want to have an index into this list. And it should not be just any random number, but it should be a random number between 0 and the maximum index of the list. So we now have this random list, and we can ask, how long is this random list? Okay, and now generate me something between 0 and the length of this random list and give me a random index into this list, and then produce this pair of lists and index into the same list as a random result of this strategy. And with this composite, you will be able to write strategies even for like a complicated configuration object. And now that we have our strategy for some of our internal data structures or objects in our program, we need to write properties. So this is a part that is a bit more like complicated and requires creativity. So I will just mention a few general strategies that will be applicable to a wide range of programs. So one is you can generalize unit tests. So if you have a program that just like inserts some data somewhere and then does something and checks if this data is displayed somewhere, then you often write some dummy data in your unit tests. And the first step you can try is, instead of using this dummy data, just use random data instead. So use this, use a parameterized test case and say, okay, generate me something random here. Or we can do fuzzing. And this is a term for also sometimes called monkey testing. You just send random input data and see if there is an uncalled exception in your program. So there you don't really have to think about properties. You just have the strategy and see, okay, is there any uncalled exception in my program that I want, that I don't want to have? So could a malicious user break my program? Or these round trip properties, like I said, if you write your configuration and read it back, or if you export the current state of your program, like the image you're editing and then reading it back. These are also relatively simple. Or you might actually have an older implementation or simpler implementation of your program, and you want your new re-implementation to behave exactly the same. Like you write a new fancy parallel version of your program. Then you can say, okay, whatever random data I use, I want it to behave the same as my old reference implementation, even though it's now a lot faster and uses multiple cores. Okay, and now, yeah, we still have 2 minutes. So there is something. So we just talked about input and output pairs as of now. But you will probably say, okay, no, my programs are not these simple functions. They are stateful programs, and like, okay, we do some one thing and then do another thing. So how does this help me here? And we, in Hypothesis, have the ability to do stateful testing. So we want to generate a random sequence of interactions in the general thing of our programs, like methods calls on a, on an object, and then can check if this if there is a random interaction that makes our program crash. Or we could then also write invariants, like this should always be the case for this object, and whatever methods I call, this should not be violated. And how do we define a generator for these interactions? For this, Hypothesis has a very neat state machine DSL. So let's assume we want to test a heap class. So we can insert elements and get out elements, and it should always pull out the smallest element we have previously inserted. And for this, we use these rule-based state machines. So we have rules and say, okay, we can have a rule push, choose any random integer, and call the push function. And we have a pop function that is only be allowed to call if our heap is not empty. Then we extract, use the pop function to extract one element and check that it is actually the minimal element of our heap. And our random tester will now choose a sequence of pushes and pops to find problems. So one problem that could occur if there is a mistake in the pop function, that it's not re-sorting or rebalancing the tree, then you can actually get a test output that is really a sequence of method calls. Like try to insert three elements and then call pop twice and use these values, and this will give you a bug. And this allows us to also use this for larger programs. So there is the commercial Erlang version of property-based testing, and they found in real applications bugs that require like more than 10 or 20 steps to reproduce a problem. Okay, so that's it for my talk. I would like to invite you to try this in your own project. And yeah, so this was a talk about Hypothesis, which is a Python library for property-based testing. You can also try it in many other programming languages. And I would recommend to maybe just start with fuzzing your program. Generate random data and see if it crashes. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Benedict, for your talk. And there was one question in the IRC for now. And the question was, can the random number generator for those tests be seeded to ensure test suite determinism?
That's a very good question. So honestly, I'm not completely sure. I think you could use you provide a seed somewhere, but that's not really the intended use of this framework. So it's better to just generate random data whenever you run the program or run your tester. So I think what whoever asked the question wants determinism for the test suite is to detect regressions or so. Like we already had something that failed or something that's very interesting, and we want to ensure that this is always tested. And this is actually what the example decorator is intended for. So this is, we don't make the testing completely deterministic, but we say, okay, there are a few important inputs we always want to try. And we provide these as examples. But the remaining not as interesting inputs, in my opinion, it's not that useful to say, okay, we want this completely random gobbled string to be always the same. This would a bit defeat the random testing. But I think you could, somewhere in the library, you probably could provide a seed as well. I hope this answered the question. Are there any other questions from the chat?
Thank you for your answer. There are currently no other questions from the chat. I would say we wait 30 seconds or so, and if there's no other question, then the people who want to talk about can join Jitsi, which link I will post later. And otherwise, we would end the stream.
Okay, so let's wait a bit.
So there are no further questions on the IRC. So I will post a link to the Jitsi and I say thank you for your talk, Benedikt, and goodbye.
Okay, goodbye, and thank you everyone for listening. And see you in the Jitsi. Bye.